Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, book lovers. Want to hear a story? Welcome back to Storytime with Em. This is a bonus episode from Em's Books and Cats podcast, where I have been sharing my book Super Jim, a chapter or sometimes two, a week. And we're at the final episode. And this is actually going to be a three-chapter episode. Since we are finishing Super Jim this week, I am going to be taking a bit of a summer vacation for the rest of the month of August. And I will be back with my regular Books and Cats episodes in September, and Storytime with Em will come back sometime in the fall with another one of my books, The Last Witch. So stick around for that one. And now please enjoy Chapter 27 of Super Jim. Maureen was dead by morning. She lay in her bunk in a pool of drying blood. Her face was gray and peaceful. She looked almost serene. Maggie envied her. It was over for Maureen. No more struggle, no more pain. Maggie thought it would be a great relief to die. The counselors made them carry her body to the pit. It was so much worse in the daylight. The pile of rotting corpses was massive. The stench was overwhelming. Fat brown birds with sharp, dangerous beaks sat amongst the corpses. One cried out as it tore pieces of flesh from the fetid mound. Tanya cheered loudly when they threw Maureen in. It was what the counselors wanted. She would be rewarded for her cooperation. Lindy stared silently at the ground. Maggie collapsed to her knees and tried to calm her shaking hands. The counselor's whip slashed across her back, and she got slowly to her feet. Quick movements pained her. Her body was shutting down, dying. Everything hurt. Her eyes met Lindy's, but she quickly looked away. She understood the hopelessness she saw there. It was a mirror of her own. Tanya was giggling, but there was no humor in her laughter. She was gone, broken. The counselors knew it. They surrounded her silently. She fought them, and for a while she was even winning. But it was 4-1. And the counselors had the benefit of not being on the brink of starvation. Tanya never had a chance. They pinned down her arms and legs. A pretty redhead counselor stepped forward. Her hourglass shape was her only obvious deformity. She cupped Tanya's head in her hands and broke her neck with one swift motion. Maggie cried out in spite of herself. "It's over now. The game is over. You're almost out of life." She welcomed it. They made Lindy and Maggie throw Tanya in the pit. Maggie thought her heart would explode. She cried and vomited as they marched across a sand dune to where a group of campers were sprinting up an even larger dune. They carried bags of rocks on their heads. The sun was already hot and the sand was burning. It was going to be a long, torturous day. "What is the purpose of this?" Lindy shook her head and shaded her eyes. They watched a man collapse near the top and roll awkwardly back down the dune. No one moved to help him. He remained face down in the sand. Lindy turned to her. "That's it right there. The purpose is to kill us. You're dying." Maggie knew it was coming. It was closer every day. She coughed. Her chest ached. The dusty air burned her parched throat. She couldn't remember the last time she'd eaten or had a drink of water. She couldn't remember how long she'd been in this hellish place. Lindy was watching her. She shook her head sadly. "Too bad you weren't really a hero." Maggie didn't know what to say. She had never wanted any of it. Everyone else had made her out to be some kind of hero when she was really just stubborn. "You're special." No, she wasn't, and she knew it now. There was nothing special about her or anyone else. They all turned to dust in the end. All she could do was hope her time would come sooner rather than later. She was tired of suffering. They were each handed a large canvas bag and told to fill them up. Lifting the rocks one by one was difficult. Maggie was amazed at how weak she had become. Her arms were thin, thinner than they had ever been in Famasili. She could count her ribs, and her stomach was concave. Tessa would have been ecstatic. What would life have been like if she had listened to Tessa? What if she had followed her plan to the letter? What if she hadn't been addicted to junkies? What if she had just played along? Exactly. Maggie wondered if she would have been a good trainer, if she could have tortured others the way they tortured her. Maybe she would have enjoyed it. She had never really liked other people. She'd always looked out for herself and survived the best she could. She couldn't be bothered with anyone else. We made poor choices. Maggie shook her head. Before, her powers had always seemed tied to other Maggie. She went away and returned when they did. But now her powers had been destroyed. Gone forever and not just taken away by science. Still, other Maggie would not go away. She seemed to be growing stronger by the day. Maggie no longer knew where she left off and other Maggie began. The line had blurred. It was just her. One person. One voice. One death. But not yet. She wouldn't die today. It was coming, and she knew it was not far away. But she had a little bit of strength left. She could endure one more day. Not that she really cared. Dying would be so much easier. Dying was peace, and Maggie desperately wanted peace. The bag of rocks was heavy. She couldn't lift it onto her head. A counselor was happy to help and slammed the bag onto Maggie's head with so much force that she saw stars. He slapped her on what was left of her once ample ass. Move it. The sand was slippery. For every step she took, she slid back too, and progress up the dune was slow. A woman collapsed in front of her. Maggie was annoyed. It took extra energy to move around the body and continue the climb. Maggie saw with relief that there was no one else between her and the top. No more unexpected obstacles. It was too hot. Her lips were cracked and dry, and her body cooked in the unrelenting sun. Her muscles screamed for water, but there was none. The counselors had plenty of water bottles. They made a production out of drinking from them and pouring streams of perfect icy water over their heads while the campers, prisoners, turned their eyes to the sand and continued to shuffle up the steep dune. The wasted water was the greatest torture. Maggie couldn't stand it. She dropped her bag of rocks. One of the counselors yelled, but they were not close enough for their whips to reach her. She trudged the rest of the way up the dune. Three counselors waited for her. The most important one, marked with his clipboard and whistle, was screaming. His words didn't make sense to her. It was all just noise. The other two watched with disbelief. They seemed unable to move, and Maggie walked right up to them without a whip being pulled. She took the water from the blonde counselor's hand and drank from it. It hurt to drink, and she was careful to only take a small sip. She couldn't risk getting sick now. The icy water filled her body with renewed energy and life. The head counselor looked ready to explode. His face was purple with rage, and he was still screaming. Little drops of spit flew from his lips. The other two were reaching for their whips, slowly, as if in a dream. Other counselors were starting up the dune. Maggie could feel the eyes of the other campers on her. Time paused for just a moment, and she saw it all. Her fingers tingled. Everything happened all at once. The two counselors were tossed into the air with great force. Their heads collided and blood rained down and soaked the hot sand. Their bodies entangled themselves into a large, misshapen ball. It rolled down the dune and knocked into the group advancing up the hill. Counselors were scattered all over the sand. The head counselor was still building pressure. His face bloated and turned blue. It seemed to grow in size, and all at once, it burst. His body slumped over. Everyone was trying to run away. The campers used the momentum from the downhill to pick up speed, and they threw themselves at the remaining counselors. Each strong body wrestled half a dozen or more frail ones, but for once, they were not winning. The campers fought with renewed vigor. They gnashed their teeth and raked at the counselors' eyes. They tore their almost perfect bodies apart. Maggie was kneeling amidst the gore at the top of the sand dune. She willed her power out to the others, sustaining them as they fought. Her body shook uncontrollably, and she struggled to hold on. Darkness was coming, but it was different this time. This time she was malfunction, error, dying. Dying. She was dying, and it was okay. It was a relief. She had made one last attempt. One last slaughter. She had done what she could to save them all, and sacrificed her own life in the process. Maggie found that she didn't really mind. Chapter 28. Maggie opened her eyes and quickly closed them again. The harsh white light was too much after the darkness. She was cold. Her skin prickled and she shivered. She opened her eyes a little and let them adjust to the light. It was a long time before she could open them fully and take in her surroundings. She was lying on a cold metal table. She could feel that much. Her heart was beating, so she assumed she was still alive. She turned her head to the side, and a jolt of pain shot through her. There was something attached to her head. A long plastic tube ran from her temple and disappeared into the bright light above. She blinked her eyes a few times against the glare. Rows of metal tables filled the massive room. On every table lay a person clad in a green gown and attached to a tube that was somehow surgically embedded into their skull. An ominous black monitor stood beside each bed. Maggie wondered what all the colored blips and beeps meant. Her own monitor was flashing red skulls. That can't be good. The voice in her head was her own. Other Maggie was gone. The room was completely white. The walls, cabinets, and countertops were shiny white porcelain. It took her a while to notice the people. They moved from table to table, clad in white lab coats as well as masks, gloves, and hats that covered everything but their eyes. Even their tablets were white. Run program 66249G. Thor. Maggie tried to sit up. Blinding pain made her fall back onto the table. Did he say Thor? Had he somehow survived? Was he here? And where was here, anyway? Case number 422057L is awake, doctor. One moment. Run program 5T3558D. Death of Tessa. What the hell? They were coming closer. She could see their blurred images in her peripheral. Maggie tried to move again. Pain exploded behind her eyes. Her monitor began a frantic series of chirps and beeps and squeals. The lights flashed faster. Doctor! Maggie sat up. The tube pulled at her temple. She broke out in a sweat as everything went red and black. But somehow her feet were moving. She was standing. She was running. Maggie crashed through a door and turned left. A seemingly endless corridor stretched before her. No doors. No way out. She heard voices and ran. Her body felt stronger here. Still sore and stiff, but more alive. Maggie pumped her arms. She ran faster. But the long, endless hallway was an illusion. Maggie collided with a carefully painted wall. The real hallway turned a sharp right and kept going. Her heart skipped a beat when she saw the door. A panel in the endless white hall was partially open. A handsome young man stood in the opening. His pants were pastel blue and had sharp creases. His midnight blue sweater matched his eyes. He jumped back when he saw her barreling down the hallway toward him. His eyes went wide, and his perfect tan faded just a little. You? You're not supposed to be here. Maggie crashed into the young man full force, and they fell into the room in a tangled heap. The panel slid shut behind them. Get off me! The young man shoved her and scrambled across the room. A plush red sofa sat before a large screen. Three stricken faces gazed up at her. Two tanned blondes in matching tight sweaters and jeans stared at Maggie with a mix of fear and anticipation. Another handsome young man with a head full of thick black hair and a bright yellow polo shirt helped his friend to his feet. He never took his eyes off Maggie. He crossed the room with his hand outstretched. A bright, winning smile was plastered on his face. He took Maggie's hand and kissed it. Her hand snapped back, but there was no tingling, no power. She slapped him, hard. His smile faltered for a moment. He touched his cheek. That wasn't very nice. He grabbed hold of her wrist and twisted her arm behind her back. Maggie bit her lip to keep from crying out. What are you doing here, Maggie? You're in the wrong place. How do you know my name? He sat her down on the couch beside the prettier of the two blondes. Technically, it's not your name, he said. It's hers. He gestured to the girl, who smiled and held out a perfectly manicured hand. Hi, I'm Maggie. Maggie gaped at the girl. She stared at her pastel pink nails. The girl slowly lowered her hand. Her smile faded. Her lips were painted a soft bubblegum pink. Her fingers strayed to the pretty necklace at her throat. The golden letters BP glittered with diamonds. BP. Benjamin Pratt. Maggie lunged forward and grabbed the chain. She yanked the girl closer and twisted. The chain dug into her smooth brown skin, and her perfect fingernails clawed at Maggie. Where did you get this? She hissed. She didn't recognize her own voice. It was harsh and dry. Broken. The dark-haired young man placed his hands over Maggie's. He gave her an apologetic look. I know. My taste is terrible. But she said she liked it. Maggie loosened her grip. He removed the necklace from her clenched fingers and gently pushed the other girl away. He wore an ornate golden ring with a large spike on the top. He flashed it in front of Maggie's face. He held her head with his other hand and pressed the spike into her flesh. Her skin burned at its touch. The metal was ice cold. "PP?" she asked in a dazed whisper. Her mind felt foggy, confused. Maggie struggled to hold on to this reality. My initials. Maggie's my girlfriend, you see. I wanted everyone to know that she's taken. She belongs to me. He grinned at the girl who was still rubbing her throat. She smiled a little and shook her head. Stop it, Benjamin. You're embarrassing me. Benjamin. Maggie tried to run, but he draped his arm around her shoulders. He pressed his cheek against hers and took a picture with his phone. Yes, my name is Benjamin. Benjamin Pratt. I created the game. I created everything. I created you. He gestured to the screen on the wall. On it was displayed a room she knew well, the cardio room at the super gym. In the center of the screen was a treadmill display, but the numbers were frozen. Maggie could see the other rows of treadmills and their suffering occupants. She knew the scene so well. You know this place well, don't you, Maggie? I haven't seen the game freeze up like this in ages. But I guess we know why it did. It's always tricky adding in new characters. Come, walk with me. He placed his hand on the wall and a panel slid open. He pulled her to her feet and placed his hands on her shoulders. He steered her through the opening and down another hallway. He moved at a relaxed pace, but his fingers were digging painfully into her shoulders. His smile was a little too wide, and his eyes were dark with anger. They stopped and he tapped on the wall with his knuckles. A small window appeared, and he gestured for her to take a look. More tables. More immobile bodies attached to tubes. She could see where they led now. Each was attached to the ceiling, which looked exactly like a giant circuit board. She recognized some of them. The old man from the treadmill room, the thin girl she had carried at fat camp, Tessa, with her dark, glossy ponytail lying lifeless on her pillow. In the far right corner, she saw him. Thor. It had to be him, but he looked different. His muscular frame was small and vulnerable amid the tangle of wires and tubes that ran from his body to the computer above. His handsome face was slack and gray. Benjamin Pratt pulled her close. His breath was damp against her cheek as he whispered almost lovingly into her ear. "This is where they all go, Maggie. The failures. The best of the best. Everyone. They come to me, and I make them immortal." Maggie's knees gave out. He held her tightly against him and reached into his pocket. In one swift, practiced movement, he snapped a collar around her neck. She groaned and leaned heavily against him as he led her back to the other room. She sat down clumsily on the red couch and stared at the picture of the treadmills on the screen. Clouds were filling her head. She couldn't think. Something seemed very important, very urgent. The words came to her slowly. "But I'm real." Benjamin Pratt laughed, a great booming laugh. He doubled over and slapped his hand against his knee. The others joined in a moment later, but their laughter was uncertain and a little fearful. He straightened himself. His face was serious once again. He put his hands on Maggie's shoulders and stared into her eyes. "It's very sweet that you think so, but you're wrong. I chose you, and you will exist forever. But you are not real. Not anymore." His hand wrapped around her upper arm and he dragged her to her feet. The panel in the far wall opened. A group of masked people in white lab coats waited in the hallway. Benjamin Pratt shoved her into their midst, and a dozen hands grabbed at her. "Here's your missing power source," he growled to the nearest lab coat. "Don't let this happen again." White-gloved hands took hold of her head and held it still. Maggie tried to scream, but a hand clamped down hard over her mouth. She saw the glint of a long needle and felt it puncture her neck. The clouds took over. The darkness returned. Chapter 29. Maggie's feet pounded out a steady rhythm, and the treadmill shuddered under the force of her effort. Her eyes were stinging from the sweat that poured in a steady stream down her face. Droplets flew off her hair as she ran. "Get me off this thing." She saw Tessa glance impatiently at her watch. She looked annoyed. "Good, I'm glad she's annoyed. I hate this." Tessa was beside her now. She climbed onto the treadmill with the grace of a cat and towered over Maggie. "Is this too easy for you, princess? Here, let me give you a challenge." "You bitch." Maggie's feet flew. Her chest ached. Her heart was definitely going to explode. This was the end. She was going to die on a treadmill. The worst invention in the history of man. Tessa was laughing and clapping her hands. Maggie wanted to hit her. She tripped and her arm flew out. It made contact with Tessa's jaw. Her head snapped back and she fell. It was over in an instant, but it felt like hours. And that is the end of Super Gym, book lovers. I hope you have enjoyed listening to this book. I will be back in the fall with the next one. Until then, keep reading.